there was for this morning's reading or meditation. Let us turn with the Lord's help and read together from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter number 2. Romans, chapter number 2. Ljubazni želim sa Božjom pomoći da se pročita iz Rimljanima, druga glava. Romans chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light to them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. May God bless our reading. Let us turn to our Lord in prayer. Dear brothers and dear sisters in the Lord and dear friends and the much welcome hearers, all of us who have assembled this morning in God's house, we have read a chapter that is very difficult to read. It's difficult to meditate upon, to preach from, because it points to us. And those are all always chapters that when we read, we like to dismiss. And with a smugness, we like to look at someone else. Oh, good. This is for him. And so rather than apply to ourselves the things that the Lord would want us to know of him, we already feel that we have attained to some extent. Oh, we brush on ourselves readily. Well, you know, I'm not perfect, and God knows that. And so we readily apply that brush of grace onto ourselves. But what we read here, dear ones, is in the previous chapter, we've read of gross sins, of the unrighteous man, and how he will be judged, how God turns them over to reprobate minds. Those who are unrighteous, those who reject him. And then we turn into this chapter and we find God's judgments are just as hot and just as fiery against the one who is a Christian by name and not in heart, the hypocrite. And he says, he opens this chapter and he says, you've just read about this previous chapter, what I've just written, Paul says. You just read about that. You saw the unrighteousness. And you smugly looked down upon them. And we're quick, brothers and sisters, we're quick to judge, condemn those who do the things that are written in Romans chapter 1. It's easy. It's easy to do. Dismiss him. Judge him. Condemn him. But he says, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art. Doesn't matter who you are. You want to condemn somebody. You want to judge somebody. And you judge another, you're condemning yourself. Why? Because you're doing the same things. And we would say, well, I'm not doing those things of Romans chapter 1. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that the identical sin of chapter 1 in Romans, that you have to be doing that, and then you're judging the one who's doing that. But you're doing the same thing. No. When you don't obey the law of God in its spirit, the way that Jesus Christ came and gave the Sermon on the Mount and lived it. He lived it and amplified it. In the daily grind of life, as we would call it, the Lord Jesus walked. As he taught, he walked. He lived. And he lifted us to a high, high level of living. And so if we do not, dear ones, live to that standard, and we judge someone else, we are inexcusable. And so we would say, okay, good. Then I'm not going to judge anybody. I'm not going to mix in anything. That way, I'm free and clear of all judgment of God. Well, the thing is, we don't. When we make a judgment, we don't judge the way God judges. We judge by our own standard. And our standards are way different than the standards of God. Because when I judge something to be wrong, and I want to judge somebody, and I want to expose somebody, and I want to be the judge, I'm taking away judgment from God, which belongs to him alone, and only him, no one else. I can't take that away from him, but I'm doing that. And I'm judging him by my standards, which are totally wrong. Because I can now look smugly upon you or upon you and say, well, I don't do those things. So I've now judged you according to my standard. But God will judge by one standard, his. That's his right. That's who he is. He is God. And he will judge according to his law. And we have that law. And so we know his law. And we will be judged according to the law that he gave in the Sermon on the Mount, the way of life that he lived, that he says, come and follow me and come and serve me. And so he says, here is, as he opens this chapter, he says, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. According to truth. Not according to, well, you know what? Okay, you meant well. I get it. You meant well, but, you know, in that moment of passion and anger, you didn't live up to the law of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus Christ gave. And so, I get it. You're just man. And he says here, we are sure. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Truth is constant. Who is true? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He never changes. Truth never changes. And so we will be judged by his law. And so the hypocrite. It says, thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things and doest the same? Again, it doesn't mean if you're a thief and I'm judging you and I'm thieving myself, that I excuse my thievery, but I judge you for yours. It doesn't mean it. It means a breaking of the law. If I'm going to break the law, but I'm going to judge you for breaking the law, I'm a hypocrite. That's what it says here. Thinkest thou? Yes, we do think that. And Paul is saying, how foolish you are. You think that you're going to judge another man according to the things that he does, but you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? So he's speaking to the hypocrite. Who likes a hypocrite? Nobody. Nobody, whether you know God or don't know God, you do not like a hypocrite. Let's think of the prodigal son. That man was honest. He spoke what was in his heart. I want to go and enjoy life. He thought there was enjoyment in the flesh, living according to his own passions and desires. He thought there's fulfillment. And he told his father, give me my inheritance. The things that are to come to me when you die, I want them now. Give them to me now. And I'm going to go into the far country. But we have a son that stayed home, who's a hypocrite. And when his brother comes home, repentant, sorry, not worthy to be called a son, he says to the father, not worthy of this grace that is being extended unto him. Not worthy to be forgiven for that which he has done, but being embraced by his father, being shown, kill the fatted calf, make merry, this my son which was lost is now found. Let's rejoice. The man says, the brother says, what about me? I didn't go out and do these things. But you never, for me, you never killed the fatted calf. You never let me make merry with my friends. It's about all about him. So the sins are the same. The sins are the same. The brother that went into the far country, he committed the sins of the flesh. And the brother that stayed home was committing the sins of the spirit. It was all, his heart was the exact same way. He wanted to make merry just like the brother did. He wanted to party. He wanted for about me. He wanted those things deep inside of him. But externally, he's labeled as the good brother. We're looking on him, and we're judging the brother that walked away. If we're living in that household, we're saying, wow, what a bad brother that man was that walked away. Look at that, spending his money on harlots, and look at what he's doing out there. But look at this brother, how good he is. Look at him. Because we don't know anything. So we shouldn't judge anything. Because God says, he stamps on that forehead of that brother, hypocrite. You think you're going to escape the judgment of God? You're a hypocrite. You know the law. In your heart, though externally you are living, though externally you are refraining from doing the things that your heart wants to do and is living in, you're in that. Your fantasies and everything are in those things which your brother is outdoing. You're just as guilty. And that's what the Lord did on the Sermon on the Mount. He amplified the law. He made it clear to you and to me. He made it clear. And those are laws that we don't want to hear. Because the law of God demands a change in each of us. It demands a change. Christianity today, think of it, what it is. God said he is not going to be mocked. You cannot embrace every teaching. It used to be said that the church is the light to the world. But today the world is a light to the church. The church is embracing everything of the world, bringing in everything into the church to bring people to God. God doesn't need the ways of the world for you and for me to come to him. God has given us a way to come to him. My law. There's every type of sect of Christianity that we could even imagine. Worldly music is brought into churches like it's a part of worship. God is being mocked. He's being mocked. You take worldly music and throw in Jesus Christ, and now it's suddenly holy music. You know, if we spend our days turning on the radio and listening to the worldly music, into the beat, into the rhythm, we're all going to fall into that. Suddenly, the hymns of Zion are going to be boring. We need excitement. We need something more. Something we want to be worshipped. But the things that worship God are his ways. We can't glorify God. We can't bring him glory through worldly means. We can only glorify him through his law. The obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. It says here, there is no respect of persons with God. Brothers and sisters, how many of us are respecter of persons? I'd like to say probably all of us. In some way, shape, or form, we have been respecters of persons. At the judgment day, there's no. Everyone is naked before God. There's nothing that's going to take. It says the books are going to be opened in Revelations. And then it says, and the book of life will be opened. Those who are in the book of life will be saved. But the books are going to be opened. And we will be judged according to the things, as it says, according to the things that we have done. Well, you think, well, how come the elder son isn't going to be judged by the things that he has done? He should be in the book of life. His trust was in himself. When your trust is in the things that you do and the things that I give myself of myself. I sacrifice my goods. I sacrifice me for so I can be written in that book of life. I'm not in that book. My trust needs to be in Jesus for salvation. My hope is Jesus. My life is Jesus. Because he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So he has to be everything to me. Or he is nothing. Dear ones, we cannot. They were first called Christians in Antioch. That was not a term like it's used today. That was not a way that was looked at, oh, he's a Christian. That's good. He's a Christian. We all say today, he's a Christian. He's a Christian. It doesn't matter what he believes. He's a Christian. He identifies with Christ. God says the only one who identifies with him is the one who obeys his commandments, who obeys his law, who seeks out his law. Dear ones, we can say, well, he doesn't, that, you know, maybe that sect of Christianity doesn't have quite the light that we have. No, no, that's not true. Anyone who's been exposed to light, think of it. Think of you're in a forest, you're in a dark, dark, you're lost. And there's a light somewhere in the distance. There's hope there. You're going to go to that light. So that light suddenly comes and it shines brightly. You're going to find the source of that light. So if we are exposed to the goodness of God, but I am quite content in attending a church, doesn't matter where it is, if I am content in being a part of a church that does not glorify God through the law of God, we'll say, well, wait a minute, are you now judging somebody? No. No, I'm not judging anybody. The law of God judges us all. But I have to be a discerner. I have to know. If I am attracted to the light, if I am lost and I'm looking to the light, and I am going to church, and I hear and see different than what God has given me, that in my church, suddenly it's okay to be divorced, to remarry. It's okay to go and join a just war that the world will, you know, we're calling the world to give the church a means to go and to kill. We're looking to the world for direction. And if I'm going to be in a church, I'm going to look at the Word of God and I'll say, wait a minute, how do we reconcile these things? How is God, this holy, three-time holy God that I'm serving and my church isn't preaching and teaching and holding to these values? And so, dear ones, we have to find the source of that light. Every man, and he even tells us here, that every man has, and he speaks to the law and judgment of the Gentiles. He says, which have not the law. Okay, so now we would think, okay, I don't know. We know the Word of God says, the one who knows more will be judged more. He will have more to answer for. And so I'm going to say, okay, I'm not going to search out the Word. I know enough. I'm going to be judged enough with what I know. That means I don't love him because I don't want to know him. When we see a light and we're lost, we want to go to that light. And that source of light is Jesus and him alone. So I will find all my truths. I will find all my contentment, all my joy in him if I love him. And so if I love him, I'm going to go to him. And in going to him, he's going to broaden my understanding. And he's going to show me my depravity. And he's going to show me his standard. And I'm going to love him. I'm going to pray to him, Lord, give me your love. Let me love like you love. Let me love like that. But if we want to run from the light, the only reason why we want to run from the light is because our deeds will be made manifest in the light. And we don't want that to happen. So we are hypocrites. And nobody likes a hypocrite. And so he says, the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. They were not given the law, but they are doing the things which are in the law. How can they be doing the things in the law when they have not been given the law? So in other words, the Jew is being told here, you are going to be judged by a different standard than the Gentile. Why? Because you've been given the law of God. You've been shown. And so we're going to say, well, then that's not fair. It's not fair because we don't want him. And if we don't want him, of course everything is not fair. We want to be God. We want to be the one that would judge myself and you and everyone else. And it's going to be an unrighteous judgment. It's going to be very unrighteous. But we think that we can take the place of God and judge better than he can. We think we can love more than he can. How? That's not fair for God to judge somebody and to cast them into eternal fire. That's not a loving God. So what? We're saying that we love more than God, who is love. We're saying that we love more than he can. You see how depraved man's thinking can become? When we want to escape his law, we'll do whatever it takes to escape. And so the Gentile here, by nature, does the things which are in the law. How does he know? How does he know? He says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. And so the Gentile, we talk about the moral law. Who gave the moral law? Who gave the understanding of what is good and evil? To the one who doesn't know God at all. He doesn't know God. He didn't get raised. So, in other words, he's saying, you, the Jew, Paul is telling the Jew, and he's telling you and me today, you have been given much. And that doesn't mean you, my friend, who have not accepted his truth, that you are exempt from being required much, because you've been exposed to his truths. Now, you choose not to obey his truth. You choose to escape. You choose to look for an easier way, one that will not hold the law of God and be judged by it. You will give an answer for that. Why? Because you've been exposed to him more so than the one who hasn't. But the one who hasn't been exposed, he's been exposed to a flicker. That light that's in the distance. Seek it out. What is this? What is this moral law? Who gave this moral law to me? When Adam and Eve took of the fruit of good and evil, they understood what was good and what was evil. And man inherited that understanding. And man knows. Yes, in all of the jungles that we like to poke at, or point out and say, well, you know, what about them? How and what? And every man will be judged a righteous judgment. Unlike, you know, Samuel was a man of God. The prophet Samuel was a man of God, and he had to be shown. Think how easy it is, dear ones, to fall from the law of God. A man of God is told to anoint a king, bring the sons of Jesse. He looked at the big, strapping young man, handsome, strong, powerful. This is the one. No. Next? No. This one? No. David? No. And it can't be David. Yes. See, Samuel needed to be shown that the heart of David, though from the outward, it didn't look like he's going to be the one, but he had the heart that trusted in God. And David himself then had to be shown his judgments as a judge, as a king of Israel. He had to be shown. How easily we judge somebody else but do the same things. Then we're going to say, well, what does that mean? Think about the story that Nathan came to him with. He was guilty of what? He's being told of this story. How elaborately, how beautifully Nathan brings this story to him. Man, poor as can be. He had this beautiful little lamb. He adored this little lamb, and this rich man took it from him. And he gave it as a sacrifice or as a meal. And surely that man shall die. That's the judgment of a man. He looked at that man and says, he needs to die. You are that man. David didn't steal a lamb. He broke the law of God, though. He was judged by the law of God from A to Z, as we like to say. And he was found wanting. He's weighed in the balances and says, David, you're way off. You're way off. Dear ones, it's that truth that is here, and we are here. The balances that we are weighed in are not according to what I have done. It's according to who I have trusted. In who have I put my trust, my faith into? The Christian religion, according to the scripture, doesn't even exist. There's a Christian who was called a Christian mockingly because he was a follower of Christ. You are either a follower of Christ or you are not. You can't be labeled a Christian and label yourself as a Christian. Of sects, there are thousands who believe such a varied amount of things, but they throw in the name of Jesus and make it all okay. Everything today, throw in the name of Jesus, make some money on it. Sell the music, sell the movies, throw Jesus in there, and it's okay. And Christianity, they suck it up. They suck it up. Why? Because I'm not brought to the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not brought to the place where Jesus says, this do, and thou shalt live. I'm not brought to the place where God speaks from heaven and says, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Don't look to the world for morality. Look to my Son. Look to Jesus Christ, the one who you can see, who you can hear, who, when you put your trust in him, your faith, you're saved by faith. These judgments of God, dear ones, John was told in the book of Revelation, he says, take it and eat it. And he says, they're going to be sweet in your mouth. But when you swallow them, it's going to be bitter. Those are the judgments of God, dear ones. We don't understand. We don't understand these judgments. He says, be sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. No man wants to stand in the judgment of God. No man, and say, Lord, look at me. Look at me. Yeah, I did all those things. The elder son did all those things. Stamp was hypocrite. Your heart's not right. The work of the law written in their hearts. He says, the conscience bearing witness. The conscience is a very, very, very dangerous thing. The conscience, because we can manipulate the conscience. We can sear it so we don't have one. But the conscience is given as a goad, not a guide, as a goad. It's to prick us and to take us where? To Jesus. It takes us to him. If it doesn't take me to him, then I am trying to sear it. I'm trying to deaden it. I don't want to quicken my conscience. I don't want my conscience to point me. I've broken a law. And now I want to escape from that feeling. Because why? Because it requires a change. I don't want change. I want comfortable living. I want to do the things that the elder son or the younger son did. I want to do those things. I want to be able to, don't tell me how I'm supposed to live. Don't tell me how I'm supposed to dress. Don't tell me these things. Let my conscience deal with that. Be careful of your conscience. Is it quickened by the Spirit? Is it made alive by the Spirit? How do we know that? Look in the truths of God. They're the ones the truth that will judge us, look there. And you will know, is your conscience being pricked? Is your conscience being put to sleep? Is it being seared? Is it being destroyed? He says, they will either excuse or accuse themselves. That's it. And we always look to excuse ourselves. He says, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent. That's me and you. That's us today. I'm called a Christian. I rest in the law of God. Yes, that's the standard by which I live. I make my boast of God. I know who God is. I know his will. It says, knowest his will. I know his will. We're going to say that. And I approve of the things that are more excellent. I am instructed in the ways of God. That's me. And you're confident. It says, you're confident that thou thyself are a guide of the blind. We look at chapter 1 of Romans. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to show you who God is. You're a guide of the blind. A light. A light. Jesus says, you are the light. A light of them which are in darkness. You're the one that is supposed to bring them to Christ. Where? To you? To your ways? To Christ. An instructor of the foolish, of the stupid, of the ones who don't know anything. These people don't know anything. They're turned over into reprobate minds. They don't know anything. A teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth and the law. And he says, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? We look at this and say, and this is hard to read. Dear ones, it's hard. But you know what? This doesn't mean to the preacher. It means to you and to me. You say you make your boast that you know God. You make your boast that you're saved. You approve the more excellent ways. You call yourself a guide. You call yourself one that can point someone to Christ. And you don't even know who Christ is yourself. Paul is telling us here. You don't even know who he is. But you're a guide to the blind. He says, thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, you dishonor God. You dishonor God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Whoa. That's hard. That's difficult. Is that me? I know I mentioned it recently, but Abraham, he lost his witness to the Pharaoh of Egypt because he lied to him. He lost his witness. There's nothing that he could do to point the Pharaoh to God. He knew God, but he couldn't point anyone. The name of God was blasphemed by the Pharaoh because of what Abraham did. That's given to us, dear ones, not to sit there and look at Abraham and say, oh, well, you know, how could he be called a man of faith? And, you know, how? And for us to reason, well, that means, okay, what's that mean? That means, yeah, okay, I can do the same thing. I'm going to fall, and God's going to say, yeah, okay, you're still a man of faith. No, that's given to us to see the dangers of what can happen when we give in to our own ways. David didn't understand. Psalm 73, he doesn't understand. He's upset at God. He says, I'm looking around. He says, I'm looking around. I see the wicked are profiting. The wicked are living a nice, leisurely life. And I see those who are godly, they're suffering. They get cancer. They get poverty. They have nothing. They don't have home. What is this? And then he says, until I went into the holies. Into the sanctuary, the holy, and then he goes, and then I saw what their end is. The judgments of God, dear ones, he judges us of who we are. He doesn't judge like we do. He's going to look at every opportunity you had. What did you do with that opportunity? Did you dismiss, when we speak of modesty, of what it means to be modest. Did you dismiss that? Does it mean nothing to you? Do you want to enjoy the good life that you've been blessed with, and you want to show someone else who, you know, you want to show a poverty-stricken widow who is of faith. You want to show her your blessings. You want to show someone how what you have. Your joy is not in the Lord, because if it's in the Lord, you're going to want to help someone. My trust is in Him. My life is in Him. He gave me the standard. He lived it. He gave it to me. And He said, do this and thou shalt live. The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles. Look at the preachers that we see today. The unbeliever laughs, blasphemes the name of God when they see their lifestyles. But we're going to say, don't judge them. Don't judge them. That's a Christian church. Don't judge. The name of God is being blasphemed by an unbeliever at their antics. Don't judge. That's how we are. Why? I want to open up myself for that same kind of judgment. But the judgment of God is according to the truth of the law that He has given us. You're not going to escape it. I won't escape it. No matter how difficult this chapter is to read, to meditate upon, to point to myself, I want to sit here with a smugness, just say, yeah. That goes him, here, here, boom, 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 and I'm good. I'm the elder son. That's how it boils down to. I'm the elder son then. I'm good with who I portray myself to be. And who I am in heart, I don't see and I don't care. Because I'm following Christianity and not Christ. Christ is the way. He is the only way. He gives life, light. If we are to glorify Him, keep my commandments, Jesus says. Dear ones, this isn't spoken of this morning with a attitude towards anyone. It's for all of us to reflect upon ourselves and to see where we stand. Where do we stand? Before a righteous God. You know, in Isaiah 5, Isaiah speaks of judgments that will be given with a smugness, it could be said. And in chapter 6, he is face to face with the holy God, and he says, woe is unto me. Woe is unto me. We are in the presence of a holy God this morning, dear ones. Woe is unto me. Let's say that to ourselves. And let's look at our life and say, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner, as the publican prayed. What did he do? Look how Jesus gave that story. And Jesus said he prayed with the Pharisee, the hypocrite that everybody hates. He says he prayed within himself. That's who he's praying to, basically. Those prayers aren't ascending unto heaven. He prayed within himself. That was his indictment. But the publican says, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, be merciful unto me. Show me your ways. Reveal thyself unto me. I'm searching for that light. I'm moving towards that light. Reveal thyself in that blazing glory. Not so that I can, don't give me so much that I'm going to be more accountable. No, give me everything. Give me you. When I have him, I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to fear of accountability. I have nothing to fear about anything. I have Jesus. Amen.